Welcome to PCMC. I'm your host, Mike Buongiorno. I am here today with my good friend, Janine Lean Mean Gagliardi.
Hello. I'm definitely one of those things.
Mean?
Just mean as a snake.
You are. Crooked as a snake, too. Crooked as a barrel of snakes.
Whoa.
Janine, how the...
How
the fuck are you?
Oh, God. I'm pretty good.
How the fuck are you?
I'm good. I'm okay. I'm good.
I'm glad to hear it.
I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad. I'm happy to be alive as well. I'm excited to talk about this.
Okay.
I'm a little worried, I'll be honest with you.
Why are you worried?
Well, you hadn't seen it, right?
No. It was on my list. I was interested because I really liked She-Ra.
Yes. Yeah, well, I think I'm worried that, because let me tell you what I'm coming with. Mm-hmm. I'm coming in with a lot of positive energy.
Okay.
I very much like this.
Okay.
And I feel like if you had liked it, you would have texted me that you liked it, and you have said nothing about it yet.
To be fair, one of my sons had surgery this week, so it was kind of a busy week.
That's not my excuses. So I'm worried that you don't like it.
Okay. You're not wrong. I didn't love it.
Okay.
I thought it was cute. I didn't hate it. You know, I wanted to like it more than I did. And I found that the first... to be fair to this film, I had to watch it in two parts.
All right.
So I know that kind of like...
And the movie is Nimona.
Nimona. That's right. We're going to talk about it.
Nimona.
So animated movie, got a lot of accolades. I think it was nominated for Best Animated Feature.
Yeah. It fucking Boar and the Heron got it.
Love that movie.
Snooze.
But I watched it in two parts, and I watched like the first 56 minutes, like the first time we sat down, and I turned to Bill and I was like, I don't know why this movie is not grabbing me. Like it has everything I would want.
You're right.
And it's just not getting me.
Interesting.
And then I finished it. I liked it more as the movie went on, but sometimes, like if I looked away for a second, I'd be like, wait, what just happened? I had to rewind. Like I found myself getting lost with this movie. And then I actually rewatched it today with the kids because I thought content wise, like they could handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I told them like someone gets killed in the beginning. I'm like, you can cover your eyes. Not that it's gory in any way, but it's just like it's a little intense.
Someone dies.
So I was like, you can cover your eyes. I'll tell you when it is. And they wanted to like, they kind of like peek through their fingers, but it was fast. So, you know, it's not super scary. But they loved it. And they kept rewinding parts.
Can you go wake them up so they could do this episode with me?
I'm going to take the night off.
Take a break. Wake I want to talk to them about it.
Thrilled. It would be the thrill of his life to do an episode with you.
Love this movie.
I asked them, I was like, did you like it? They're like, yeah, the movie's really funny. Like, they loved it.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. How did you feel about the character Nimona?
I don't like her.
Really?
She's a bit much.
Oh, see, I think I just watched her scenes.
I find her so exhausting. I love her.
She reminds me of the way, like, she reminds me of like Bugs Bunny or something. Like, it's just like, I'm going. I'm saying funny things.
Funnier than she is.
Oh, come on.
I'm like, girl, like, give it a rest.
I found her so delightful.
I found her so exhausting. I knew you'd find her delightful. She's like a manic pixie dream girl, sort of, in that way. Like, she doesn't really fit that mold, but she's like, I'm quirky and weird. I'm not going to play a board game the right way. I'm going to do this. And I'm over here. I'm like, girl, just take your Adderall and sit down. Just relax. but she and you know, I actually think it's a great voice performance.
It really is.
I really think it's a very, very good voice performance. I like Riz Ahmed in it.
Yeah, I think his performance is good too.
His is very subdued, almost too subdued in relation to her. Like, he's so low energy versus her high energy, but I guess it's what you need. I really like all the voice performances. I like the animation style.
Yes, I think the animation style is really nice.
I like the concept. And yet, I think it's the barrier of not liking this character. Not disliking her, but just like, I didn't love her. Like, she's not, I don't care necessarily about her. Okay. I have a lot of questions that we can also get into.
Sure.
About like, what's she been doing for 1,000 years? What's she been up to?
Oh, I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So, Nimona is from 2023. Mm-hmm. It was released to Netflix.
That's right.
It was being produced by Blue Sky, which was an animation studio owned by Fox. And then when Disney bought Fox, they bought essentially Blue Sky, and they didn't want to continue developing this movie. The rumor is because of the queer content.
Right.
And then Netflix came in, and they were kind of like done. They were like, we think they were like closed. They were like, shit, this movie's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, even though they made a lot of it. And then Netflix came in the 12th hour and got it over the finish line. Mm. And it was nominated for an Oscar for Best Animated Feature. It was robbed by fucking The Boy and the Heron.
A beautiful film. I suggest you all see it. I encourage you all.
So Nimona is directed by Nick Bruno and Troy Queen.
Now, who are they? Like, are they from anything we would know?
I don't know.
Okay.
They're animation guys.
All right.
There are 8 writing credits on it.
Oh.
A lot of people wrote on this movie.
So this is a character created by Andy Stevenson.
Yes. Who you could call Nate.
Nate or well. Indy. He goes by Indy as well. As like a nickname for Andy, I guess.
Yeah.
Indy. It's kind of fun.
I get it. Yeah. I didn't get that sort of Indy.
Yeah. It's cute.
I thought he was a big Indiana Jones fan.
He loves Indy.
Can you imagine? I was like, the gall of walking into a room and be like, call me Indy.
But I like as the initials, and then it's like Indy.
Yeah. They were previously one under the name Noel Stevenson.
I don't know if they've like corrected.
They have, because if you look at new versions of.
Like the new editions have.
Yeah, the new editions of Nimona have ND.
Okay.
Instead of Noel.
Right.
But Noel, he used the name Noel for a long time, because Noel was the name on the original Nimona. On Lumberjanes, which I love, and on She-Ra.
Okay. Yeah, right. I knew of She-Ra through, you know, as
and
the
She-Ra,
creator.
For me,
I don't want to keep dead naming him, though.
Right, no. That's just the name they used to use. She-Ra was the big thing for me. Like, I still say, like,
She-Ra. I love She-Ra.
It's the best Masters of the Universe, anything in that franchise. It's so
like
good.
I love She-Ra. I really do. Like, I really love
do
that
Do you
show.
Love, what was the really fun one? The one who like worked with Hordak.
Yes, I did. And you know why?
What was her name?
It was like Tech something. Was it something with Tech? Entrapta.
Entrapta. Right. But then you don't like Nimona.
Entrapta wasn't the main character. We got bits of Entrapta. I want bits of Nimona. I think I would like Nimona better if I saw her very seldomly. But Entrapta, I get it. Yeah, she's a similar character and kind of like, what's...
Right.
Okay, Harley Quinn in the new series for Max is like brash and loud.
Yeah.
But is not, like, I get her impetus. I get her journey. I get like she's trying to make it in the world of villains. She has a clear plan.
Yeah.
Nimona is just sort of like chaotic for the sake of being quirky and chaotic.
Yes.
I'm like, all right, we get it. You're not like the other girls. Like, I don't know.
But she's not a girl.
She's not a girl. She says that many times.
She says many times, I'm not a girl. Which
or,
love that.
I'm not people.
Yes.
And then at one point, Bal says, like, oh, so you're a boy today. So you're a boy now. And Nimona says, I am today.
Yeah.
So.
It's a beautiful, like, illustration, allusion, metaphor for trans.
And Andy Stevenson says that he did not write this character with that in mind, and that at that point he was not on that journey.
But he does say that he feels like it must have been coming out of his subconscious. We talked about this when we did our episodes on the Matrix movies.
Yes.
Right? Because the both directors of the Matrix used to identify as male and now identify as female.
Yes.
And Neo's
so much
journey is about
there. So much change. Yeah.
Yeah, the body changing. You know, I think it's actually a really what makes it, I think, a really good metaphor for being trans is I think that we often, and I don't, we haven't said, I'm assuming people, if you haven't seen it, like the what Nimona is, she can magically change into other animals. She very much has the same shapeshifter. Yeah, like she has the same powers almost as like Beast Boy.
Yeah, very, very similar. She cannot turn into inanimate objects.
In the comic, she can, but it's hard for her to turn back.
Okay.
So she doesn't.
So, okay. So, all right. So then in the film...
In the film, she just turns into animals. Like animals.
Yeah.
Except for... Yeah, okay. In the film, she turns into animals. And she has pink hair and she could turn into... The animals she turns into are always pink.
Right.
But she can turn into her original form, like she does when she's that boy.
Yeah.
But so why I think it's so... And I'm not a trans person, so I can't speak from experience. But I think when we think... Well, I think it's so good is like... I think when we think of trans, right? We actually don't think about the trans of it, meaning the transition, like the flux of it. I think we think of the M to F or F to M. Right, right, right. We think of, oh,
It's the beginning and the end.
Right, right. We think like, oh, you are this now, you're that now. When often like trans might be for somebody that actual liminal change.
Yeah.
Like Nimona often takes the like form of a young girl, right? But as she says, she's not a girl. She's not people. She is all of it. She is a whale. She is an ostrich. She is a parrot. She's a lot of things. She's an otter. Like, she is all of those things. And I don't know, maybe it's my own naivete, but it was the first time I thought of like, yeah, trans. Trans means change, move,
right,
like
a movement.
Yeah, like
yeah, it's dynamic.
Trans is not a thing.
Right.
It's like, you know, so
it's motion.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No. I especially in that part where Bal asks her, "What does it feel like?"
Yes.
And she says, "It feels like I feel itchy inside."
Well, she feels like she's.
He goes much better when I do it. Than
yeah,
when
he
I
goes.
Don't.
Does it hurt to do it? She says no, but when I don't do it,
yeah,
it hurts.
It hurt. Yeah,
and, he,
and she
goes,
said I would
die.
And he's like, really?
And she's like, no,
but I wouldn't
it feels
be living.
Like death.
But yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So it's really it's so interesting. I want to read the comic.
I see. I do too.
Because did you watch that video I sent you?
Yes, I was able to watch it.
So Bounce is much more like villainous. Actually,
yeah,
a villain in it.
Actually, a villain. Or at least an anti-hero.
Yeah.
But I found that so many of her like long diatribes or not yeah, even yeah. diatribes would be like, do you want to do X, Y, Z? And then it's like so long. I'm like, I could.
I'm sitting there eating popcorn going, I love it.
And I'm like, I could see the speech bubble, you know?
Yeah, 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 sure.
And I'm like, this works on the page, I think. I don't necessarily want to hear it.
Oh, I think
at me, rat-a-tat.
Her constant going.
And she said great delivery.
Like, oh, like, I mean, I would write down the quips. Like when she, like, when he's in the jail cell and she's like, don't worry, I know the code. And she does it. It was boop, 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 boop. And it says, like, wrong code. And then she hits it. And I'm like, why did she pretend to know? Like, why didn't she just hit it? Like, why do the boop, boop, boop?
Because
she's hilarious.
Quirky.
She's enjoying
she's quirky
life.
She's crazy.
She's enjoying
life. You
know,
life. And she's, like, slamming all the things of armor down.
She says metal. I love it.
Metal. She says metal.
Metal.
I want to break stuff.
Or what she sees that he has.
Are you going to murder someone? Is your murder wall? Oh, how many people are going to kill? I'm like, oh.
But in the comic, she does. She murders people.
Well,
which is fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
And yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what the story is. So it's.
It's this like.
A medieval future.
Medieval world.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's as if
it's
medieval times. Had like access to technology that's more advanced than us.
Yeah.
But everything kind of stayed the same in terms of tradition. So there's still knights and people kind of dress the same way that they did, except some people have hoodies and some people
and there's
are...
still like a culture of like dragons and peasants and...
Well, there's definitely a hierarchy, like a social hierarchy.
Yeah. And if you look at like, they have like funny things like a Gatorade, but it's called Slayerade.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah. And it's very much in that world of Arthurian knighthood.
A queen.
There's a queen as their leader.
But they live in, these characters live in a city that's actually has a giant wall around it, protecting it from the outside where they say there are monsters.
Right.
And they don't go past the wall.
Yeah.
But they have flying cars and shit.
Yeah,
like
they have
that.
Like Times Square billboards and stuff. Yeah. Like it's very modern looking.
TV and stuff like that. Like yeah.
They have phones.
Yeah. Yes, right.
Yeah.
They have YouTube, a version of YouTube.
So our main knight, Ballister Boldheart.
Yes.
He's a street. There's a lot of exposition dumping right in the beginning, right? So he's a street kid from nowhere who is chosen.
Street rat.
Yeah, by the queen to become a knight because he wanted to be a knight. And then he spent, like, I would say, like, 20 years at the institution.
Right. The institution's interesting because they don't get that into what it is.
Yeah.
Because it's a school, but it's also the government.
Yeah. They call it the Institute.
Yeah.
And it's responsible for the training of the knights.
Right.
And we open on, like, this is the knighting ceremony, and they're doing, like, man on the street interviews, and they're like, can this commoner become a knight? And people are like, that's not what Glorith would have wanted. So they have this huge statue in the center of the city of a knight who's holding out her sword, like, pointing to like the outside, and go back from the shadows from whence you came. And that's Glorith. And Glorith is, like, the hero of this culture, this city.
Right.
And they're always like, oh, my Glorith. She banished the name of dragon. Glorith. Right.
She banished a monster. Mm-hmm. And now they all live in this culture of, there are monsters beyond the gate, but we will, the knights will protect you from monsters. Right. And she's like, oh, my Glorith. Like, Glorith is, like, their everything.
Yeah.
She's this giant presence because she's this big statue.
Yeah.
But she's, like, everything. And one of the characters is a direct descendant of her.
Right. And that is Bowser's boyfriend.
Ambrosius.
Ambrosius Goldenloin.
Yeah. Which is great.
He's great. I like him.
Yeah.
He's always lit. Did you notice that throughout? Yes. No matter what scene he's in, he has a spotlight on him.
Yes.
And he's the golden boy. He's the literal golden boy. Yes, literal golden boy. Heir of Glorith. And he's, you know, the one they all want to be the knight.
Right.
He loves Boldheart. Right. He loves Bowser.
Right.
Who looks like Riz Ahmed. So very big eyes. A very pointy little face.
Riz Ahmed's sort of soft voice, I think, actually worked.
I think it worked. I liked it. Yeah.
People sometimes are like, I don't like when real actors are in animated movies because they're great voice actors that, you know, and I get that.
Yeah.
I totally get that. But I also think, like, see, to me, where that's a problem is when it's like the Yogi Bear movie with Justin Timberlake as Boo Boo. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing Justin Timberlake has.
I know. He's not bringing anything
role. You just want his name on the poster.
Yeah.
This is different. I think Chloe Moretz does
a great job.
I think Riz Ahmed does a great job.
I think they were difficult lines to sell. And she sold them.
The queen is voiced by what's her name, who is also Shadow Weaver.
Oh, that Lorraine Toussaint?
Yes.
Yes. I was like, I recognize her Shadow from somewhere. Weaver. Yeah, there you go. I love her voice.
Yeah.
She's in it briefly.
You know what?
Now spoilers, I'm thinking she gets killed.
Yes. Now I'm thinking about it, Catra also reminds me a little bit of Nimona. Because she has that panic.
And also she's the pointy teeth.
And I love the pointy teeth.
I know. I like the pointy teeth too.
I
Peter was scared whenever her eyes turned white. He was like, no.
When she does that thing where she's like, she sees his metal hand and she's like, did they let you keep it? I thought that, I find that hilarious.
I'm like, oh man, she's so dank.
She's so dank.
No, she's not dank. But she's like those internet memes. Like the face is getting like more scrunched up or like the eyes. Yeah, that's her.
What about when she becomes a shark? I'm a shark. I love it. I love
She's like, she reminds stick your head me, honestly, one of these.
Jen.
Of Jen?
Jen has a...
Oh, don't say that about Jen.
No, Jen has
Don't do Jen dirty like that.
Jen has a wonderful energy.
I agree. I think Jen has a wonderful energy. I would and never...
She sometimes has that energy.
She does not exhaust me.
Interesting.
Nimona's frenetic.
Sure.
And I find that to be off-putting, just in general. Like, for instance, the first episode of Rick and Morty, like, it took me a while to get into the show Rick and Morty, because
is that right?
That first show where he's like, Morty, come on, Riley, and he's like breaking into the room and just like talking nonsense. I'm like, I can't do it. Like, I need a minute. Like, I get overwhelmed. So
do you dislike Deadpool?
I don't love him.
Because Deadpool, especially in this new one, Deadpool is just annoying. Like, there's a scene that I don't know if you've seen online where Wolverine's just like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You're a fucking loser. Like, and it just goes off. And then Deadpool's just silent. And he's like, I'm going to fight you now.
I feel that way.
Yeah.
I don't love Deadpool. Honestly, I've seen the first two movies once. Like, I've never rewatched them. I'm like, I got it. I got what I needed from this. I'm like, I guess I'm not.
So you don't like Joy. You don't like Joy.
I like Joy from Inside Out.
Yeah. So Riz Ahmed's character.
Yeah.
He's being knighted by the queen.
Right.
And as she knights him, it's just like in the, you know, medieval times, she knights him, like hits him on either shoulder with his own sword.
The end of his sword opens up, the hilt.
Yeah, and a fucking green laser comes out.
Shoots her right through the chest.
Yeah, and Golden Loin.
I couldn't follow what happened in that moment. I had to rewatch it because I was like, I thought he tried to stop the laser from going through her and like shot it up. Like I thought it was like a recoil thing where it was like,
oh. Right.
But I don't know. Didn't realize that he had cut his arm off.
Right.
Until.
Right. And then they're boyfriends. We've already established that they're together.
Yeah. Which was so funny because we have, you know, people in our lives who have same-sex relationships that our kids know. So they know, you know, boys can be with boys, women can be with women. And it's so funny. The whole movie, Peter is like, that guy's best friend. He did it. I was like, they are best friends.
I mean, yes, if it's a good relationship,
if they're a good relationship. He said he was my best friend. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he cuts it. That's funny. He cuts his arm off. And then everyone call him the queen killer. He goes into hiding. Yeah. And that's when Nimona. Now, like you said, we don't know what she's been doing for 1,000 years.
She's spray painting.
We see her spray painting. Yeah.
I imagine it would be easy for her to get by because she could turn into anybody. Anything. So if she needs food, she can get it, you know.
But the fact that she's spray painting kind of says that she likes just making trouble.
Yeah. And then she sees him on The Wanted, like on the news. And like, he's perfect.
Yeah.
I'm like, for what? Girl, she's stewing over this?
She goes and she's like, says like, she goes and like, finds his evil lair, and it's like this broken down old, like, I guess, hassle or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, I want to apply to be your. Yes.
But it's not cars. It's like whatever, spaceship or whatever. It's broken down out front.
Mm-hmm. She applies to be his sidekick. She's like, all villains need a sidekick.
Yeah.
And comedy ensues.
Yeah. He's like, what job? I don't need a sidekick. I'm innocent. And she's like, I'm kind of disappointed. You're not a murderer, killer, villain. And so he goes to get help, I guess, goes to find his boyfriend. And he immediately gets arrested and thrown in jail. So she saves him. And then they have the big sequence of her turning into
different animals. That's a great action sequence. Yeah. Like the animation.
The action sequences are really fun.
Of her turning into all these different. And then like she turns into a giant blue whale. Mm-hmm. She's pink blue whale. And it's like. So it makes – this is the nerd in me is like, so she can change her mass because that's pretty big.
Yeah.
In versions of Teen Titan, some versions, Beast Boy has to eat a lot to do that.
Oh.
But whatever, she can do it.
She seems primordial.
She's also magic working here, not sci-fi.
Yeah. She seems like she's an old god or something.
Yes. Because we –
we really don't know anything about her.
She tells a fake story.
Exists. Right. We see her backstory. She tells a fake story about like a wishing well or something. Yeah. But then we see what happens to her. And I think the flashback is probably true, right?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe the flashback is true. But and it breaks my heart.
We don't see where she comes from. She just kind of exists.
You're right. She has the power.
Yeah.
She just is someone who has that power to turn into different animals. And just the flashback is about how she.
I think there is a backstory, though, in the comics.
In the comics, there's a. I think they still don't say where she comes from.
Oh, no? Okay. I thought she had parents in the comics. Because I read some comics.
She's like
on
a changeling or something.
Where they were like, she got sick and then had magic, and then her parents rejected her because they thought she was a changeling. Like, that's a backstory. Like, this. I kind of like that we don't know. I don't need to know.
Yeah.
I assumed she is like a chthonic god. Like, she's from, you know, she just exists on the in that world.
And if we're extending the metaphor, it would be like, why they're trans people? Like, because there just are some.
There just are, yeah.
There just are some.
They just exist, right? They're a fact of life.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we do see her backstory in that respect. But we really don't know much about her.
I really
still don't know what she's been doing for 1,000 years.
I like the scene where she gives him the fake backstory because it's all a way of fucking with him.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of like microaggressions that he does.
Well, I also just like that he insists, like, she's like, I told you I'm Nimona. And she says it many times. Right, and he's like, that's not an answer.
Right.
That tells me absolutely nothing about this mind-blowing situation.
In the subway, you hear a speaker say, if you see something, slay something. Which, come on, that's worth the price of admission. At one point, I'm just looking at my notes. Who has four thumbs and greatest distractions? And then she has four thumbs. She's a little bit like Beetlejuice in that moment. I liked when, I wish she did more hybrid shit. Like when she looks like a human but has the giant wings. I was like, ah, do more of that.
That's
shit.
That's fun. That is fun.
Oh, yeah, right. She tells his backstory. I like the way the backstory is animated too. It's done like that. I forget what the actual art piece is called. It's in Manhattan. It's in the city. I forget what train line is it. The two where you look out the window and in the subway, like a zoetrope. It's like basically it looks like it's animating.
Oh,
have you ever
okay.
seen that?
I haven't.
I think it's the two. That goes from Manhattan to Brooklyn. So she's sort of telling a story and you're seeing it animated like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a wishing well and she's like, I don't know, it was a wishing well and I made a wish and I was cursed to be trapped on a train with someone asking me small-minded questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the real story that we find out later on is that she was childhood friends with Glorith.
Right.
Which, that broke my heart. That whole sequence broke my heart.
It's
because it's
sweet.
So sweet when they are becoming friends. And also, like, you could see that little Nimona's so afraid of changing.
Mm-hmm.
So when she changes and Glorith doesn't freak out, she, like, changes a bunch. Yeah. To be like, look at this. It's, like, showing who she is.
Yeah. And she's so excited that someone finally accepts her. And you see her, like, at the beginning of that sequence, like, she turns into a bird, tries to make friends with a bird, tries to make friends with a deer.
Oh, that's the... Yeah.
Yeah, no one's, like, taking the bait. Like, no one wants to be friends with her. And then she finds Glorith. Now, do we feel that that is her true form?
What? As the girl?
The little girl.
That's a great question.
I don't know.
Right. It could easily be... That she has no true form, right? That she's anything.
She could be like vapor, right?
The only reason you would, the only reason narratively you would feel like it is because everything else has this symbol color of pink.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like it's an extension of what she is.
Of what she was, yeah.
Whereas the little girl looks like a normal human little girl, but that could just be the way it's animated. That's just a choice that they made.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I do think she, there's a point where she's turns into a giant pink dragon, which is not a real animal, but she's imitating the dragon that's on the cereal. Mm. And she's like shooting cereal out of her mouth, which is like part of her. Okay. And then some little kid's scared and she sees the kid scared. And then she turns into
that little girl.
Original, like not who she is throughout the whole movie, but like her when she's a kid in the flashbacks. Yeah. So maybe that is her original self because she goes to that to be not scary, I guess. I'm not sure.
Maybe that's just like the most important form to her, like the one that means, like signifies the most to her.
It's interesting because given how her body works, like she has earrings and stuff, like that's all her. Like it's really all her, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
I love her style. So she's got like, she's not super thin, which is always good. That's always in Nate Stevens' work.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You always have like more realistically bodied.
Body diversity, which I love.
But she's short. She looks like, I don't know, like 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
She's got...
Like a shaved back of the head.
Shaved back of the head, but then like long pink hair on the top and then pink, like, I don't know what you call that on the sides.
Yeah, like almost like she's got bangs in the front and then kind of like two longer pieces on the sides.
Yeah. And earrings in both ears all the way.
She got a headband, right?
Does she have a headband?
Does she wear something on her head?
I don't think so. I think you just see the line from where the shaved is.
Oh, maybe that's why I thought it was a headband.
She has a sort of punk rock medieval vibe. Her teeth are normal but have tiny little fangs.
Yeah. She doesn't have a headband. That's just where her hair starts.
Yeah. She's got a sort of pink, purplish color scheme.
Yeah.
Her skirt is sort of maroon. Her eyelids, her lips, and her freckles are all kind of maroon.
Okay.
She has chainmail on?
Yeah, it looks like she's got this like armor underneath.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Different from the way she looks in the comic.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the look of the art.
The look is cool. It's sort of got that Into the Spider-Verse thing going for it.
In what sense do you think?
It just reminds me of that animation style. It's the character designs themselves. Like I'm comparing now.
Hmm.
And that's been sort of like riffs on that have been done.
I don't know if I agree.
It's not.
But I would say that I think for a long time we were stuck in a model that was sort of created by Pixar and DreamWorks. And we're finally getting out of that. And I would say it is its own thing.
Yeah.
They have big eyes for sure, like kind of Disney characters.
Yeah, it's more stylized in the way that Into the Spider-Verse is, where it's sort of more like angular faces. Right. They're not like one-to-one.
But also, I'd say that the backgrounds aren't as frenetic and crazy as Into the Spider-Verse.
No, I don't think so. I think like I feel like Into the Spider-Verse is the, you know, the model, right, yeah, that we're working from. And like Nimona takes it less frenetic. TMNT, the new one, Mutant Mayhem, takes it way more frenetic, where yes, it's like there's like squiggles everywhere.
Well, it literally looks like drawn.
Yeah. But I think that's sort of the mode that we're in right now. And I think that these like trends in animation styles, like it was all great, like Cal Arts, yeah, like 10 years ago. And now it's like sort of this style, which, yes, I love. It's beautiful. I think it looks really nice.
I wish this had been theatrically released.
I think it would look great.
Because I feel like your kids liked it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's a good, entertaining movie. And like, I think it would have done well in theaters.
I think it's a movie. I think actually, I think it might have been challenging to release it in movies because parents are always looking for something to take like little kids, mm-hmm, to. And this isn't necessarily thematically okay for all little kids. Like, I had to kind of really vet it.
Because of like the violence,
yeah,
and
the
framing of murder, and
like
stuff,
the intensity of it.
Yeah.
Because at times it does get intense. Like, you know, she has suicidal ideation and, you know, she's like trying to end it all at the end. And that's kind of heavy.
Oh, Nimona, right. Nimona, yes.
That's heavy.
That's very heavy.
And not that they're getting the full impact of that, but it's still like heavy to see like someone like walking into a sword, basically, you know?
Yeah.
And also, you know, there's death right in the beginning. I mean, that happens in The Lion King. But there's some stuff where it's not like, oh, it's Despicable Me, it's like minions running around. Yeah. So it's not like the most safe bet to bring little kids to. I think it's actually a great sort of like tween and mid-age and even to teen movie, which they don't really make animated movies for that group, really.
Right, that's true.
But Into the Spider-Verse is also deals with like heavier themes as well.
Right.
And that did very well. So I think it could have done well.
Maybe it wouldn't have had... I don't know how Spider-Verse did with kids.
Yeah. I know some kids who love it. And I know some kids who didn't like it. Like, I took the kids to see Mutant Mayhem. And especially the opening sequence freaked them out.
I forget what the opening sequence was.
It's, there's Baxter Stockman and there's like a raid swatted on the house. It's pretty intense. And it was loud in the theater. It was super loud.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. But yeah, I think it would be successful with older kids. I think it would be successful with adults too. I wish it had, because you could see it looks good. You know, it doesn't. You don't go, "Oh, this is cheap." Like,
no, it doesn't look bad at all. Yeah. I think it looks well made and it has a lot of talent behind it.
Yeah,
like Julio Torres plays the squire. I love him.
There's the squire is. The
it's got a great soundtrack. Really good music. Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about Todd.
It's odd. Beck Bennett.
Yes, plays Todd, who is one of the other knights.
Right.
He's becoming a knight. He's in the Institute. And he's not descended from Glorith. Like,
but they're all nobles.
They're all noble, except for...
When she destroys the place, like, as a whale, he's like, "Oh, look, my grandmother's head's on your, like, granddad's butt." Like, they all have statues of their predecessors, like their family members in this Institute.
And he's like a dumb bro.
Big dumb,
who picks on...
He's a real Chad.
Yes.
This Todd is a Chad, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he picks on Boldheart, even though Boldheart's top of the class, apparently.
Right.
If I'm to believe RuPaul's narration.
Yes.
And I always believe RuPaul.
Yes, of course.
But Todd picks on him. But there's no homophobia in this world.
No.
But I also got the sense that their relationship wasn't necessarily like
everyone knew
publicized.
About it.
Yeah. I thought
when
it was more.
When you see them, they're like in the rafters.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see them really.
Yeah. They seemed like they were kind of keeping it quiet.
So what do you think about the director who's played by...
Oh, Frances Conroy?
Frances Conroy.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, I like her performance. Stone cold bitch.
She is a stone cold
she
bitch.
She just wants rich kids. She does not want poor kids from the street.
Right.
How are they going to keep us safe?
So
if they know all the same stuff.
What we find out.
I don't really get her motivation.
Well, did you watch that video I sent you?
Yes. That's a headcanon, though.
I don't know. There's...
I don't know that they see enough evidence there. That they're basically, the headcanon is that she's lovers with the queen and decided, like...
No, I'm not talking about that part.
Oh, okay.
The part that she's a monster.
That she's actually a monster.
And keeps it in.
I don't think...
Because the comic...
The comic suggests
really leans into
more
that.
Than the film does.
But in the film, she does...
Have coverings on her ears.
And in the comic, she has, like, elf ears.
Yeah. I think it's
a wrinkle.
It does add a wrinkle. I think it's there more in the comic. I don't think the film shows us that, necessarily.
So... We find out is she's the one who set up Ballister. She switched his
sword
with the one with the laser, and it's because she's like
obsessed with monsters.
She was she's like, I have this dream of the crack in the wall, and all these monsters come in, and our way of life is taken from us.
Mm.
And she's like, I begged the queen to not let a commoner into our institute, and she didn't listen to me. So she set him up, and she's the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's prejudice. I mean, really, I think it, like, fear and prejudice.
Like, yeah,
I think her motivation is like somehow she makes a connection of, if a commoner could be a knight, then that's like the first crack.
That's the first, like, yeah.
We'll just have monsters walking all around.
Yeah,
which is kind of like what does happen, but. Monsters aren't bad. Like, if Nimona is a monster,
right?
Like, they're not bad. It's all about, like, you know, being misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the reason why she goes to meet Ballister. Like, she says, like, you know, everyone hates you now, and everyone hates me.
Right. But do they hate her really? They hate the story about her.
Right. Well, she hides.
Yeah.
Who she is.
The thing about that backstory is, was that their only encounter? Like, did Glorith become a knight later in life? Or it's 1,000 years ago. So it's like one of those things.
I had the feeling it was their only encounter. I had a feeling, my sense was that the story evolved.
Just evolved. And that she was no longer a little girl. She became a
man. Because the little girl says the thing that Glorith says in the famous story of, like, go back
from whence you came. So basically what goes down is, once the villagers and, like, the parents of Glorith realize, like, this little girl she's been hanging out with is a shapeshifter, they, like, surround her with pitchforks and torches and, like, try to poke her. And then she flips out and, like, turns into a bear and a wolf and all different things, and causes a fire to start in the village.
Right. Whereas in the tale, like, she's a fire-breathing dragon that purposefully burned down the village.
Right. And then and not even the village, like, the world. And Glorith was the only one who could stop her and was a shining knight in armor.
Right.
But really was a little child also. And was just like, get out of here. Can't you see nobody wants you?
Right.
And
she's kind of... She's kind of mimicking her parents' fear.
Mm-hmm.
She's
not afraid until her parents teach her that she should be afraid.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm like, girl, you've been holding this grudge for 1,000 years as a little child. She didn't know better.
Well, I was the only person who ever accepted
her. I know, but still. You think wisdom would occur over 1,000 years. But no, she's very much like Peter Pan in that sense.
Mm.
She's old, but she's not wise.
Yes. Yes. I think the plotting is very good, because like halfway through, it feels like they've succeeded.
Right.
Like,
the director's exposed.
Right, right. Yeah. They do this thing where the boyfriend, I can't remember anyone of his names.
Golden Loin. Yeah.
Ambrosius. Golden Loin comes in and he's like, we need to talk, and, like, confronts her about what happened to Ballister. And then she admits it, and then runs him through with a blade. But then... You realize it's not really Golden Loin. It's Nimona pretending to be him, because she could also look like people.
Yeah.
And they record it, and then they put it on their version of YouTube, and it's like, oh, they win.
But she's like, that wasn't me.
That really got me. I thought, you know, like, maybe I was dumb when I watched it, but I didn't. In that moment, I didn't think. Like, if it were the last scene, I would be like, oh, that's Nimona. But the way that they plot it and the way they put it in, like, it's a very good. You really believe, because it starts with him.
Yeah.
So you believe it's his scene.
Right.
I think it's, and then I like the touch of at the end, like, he walks in, like the real him walks in and says the same thing, like, we gotta talk.
Yeah. And she's like, ah, in his face. She's like, it's a bad time, I guess. Because she knows she's been had by them.
Yeah. And then everyone's like,
but it's like, what if it really occurred, people would doubt it, right? Like, that's right. fake. That's right. not real.
And then she shows that Nimona is
the monster.
The monster.
Yeah.
There's and then a scroll. She's like, you know, Nimona's the this monster can morph and look like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Which made me think of Bathroom Panic.
Yes. That's a good point. Like, you don't even know. Like, you don't even know who's a threat. But you don't even know.
Like, they're pretending to look like us.
Yeah.
And Ballister, I think it's good writing because he's not, like, perfect from the get-go. Like, he seems to be struggling with understanding her.
Yeah.
And who she is. And
he's trying.
Right. But he's stumbling. And then at the end, he kind of, like,
he says, fucks I see it up. You.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, at the very end.
Right, when she runs away, and then she runs outside the wall, and that's when she
has sees, the wishing well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about the thing she becomes.
She becomes like this black, sort of like a dragon looking.
Yeah, it's
thing.
Not, yeah, it's like a, it looks like vapor.
A shadow. Yeah.
Almost, also like, or like venom.
Venom, yeah, very yeah, much like venom. It's like Bill inky. Said it looked like Legend of Zelda character Demise.
Mm-hmm,
the no. And then he showed me, and the character design actually looks very, very similar. Yeah.
It's interesting because, like, Nimona obviously can turn into these other forms and other, but this looks like it happens not. She doesn't make it happen. It happens when she's in extreme pain.
Yeah,
and even like when it like roars, like it's really just a pain scream. It's very, it is very intense and sad.
Yeah,
because she's just like, nobody cares about me. Nobody ever loved me. I'm just gonna, because she says earlier on, like, the worst part of being me is, like, I don't know what the worst part is. The fact that everybody wants to run me through with their blade, or the fact that sometimes I want to let them.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides that she's going to go in to the city and walk up to the Glorith statue and, like, let, because the Glorith statue has a sword extended.
Yeah.
A giant sword.
Yeah.
And let it, just walk into it and let it kill her.
Yeah.
In the comic, she doesn't do that, I don't think. I think in the comics, she becomes that thing and then, like, goes on a rampage and, like, really kills people and straight up kills the director.
Oh, okay.
Like, fries the director.
Nice. So she, the director at this point is like, I knew it. We're under attack. And has this, like, laser cannon at her disposal. And Nimona, as the monster, is in the center of the city.
Yeah.
And she tells the knights, like, fire the cannon. And now Ambrosius is with her because he's, like, her second in command.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we're going to blow up half the city. Innocent people are going to die.
She turns it inwards toward the city.
Yeah.
Towards the monster.
Yeah. And so hell-bent on getting rid of this monster. She does not care that she would destroy, you know, innocent people's lives in the quest to kill it.
Yeah.
So then she attacks her own knights. You know, she loads up the cannon herself. And in that moment, a lot of things are happening. So we know, like, the cannon is about to be fired. Nimona's going to, like, walk into the statue. And Ballister is there standing on the sword. And he, like, puts his hands out and puts his hands on her.
And like, says, hugs her. Like, yeah.
He says, I'm sorry. I see you.
Yeah.
You're not alone. And then she turns back into, you know, Nimona the girl. And she's all bruised up and beaten up.
And then she, like, explodes.
I think, right? Well, she becomes a phoenix.
Yes.
She becomes this big, fiery phoenix. And when she realizes that they're going to shoot the cannon at the city, and she sees all, like, the little kids and stuff running around and she, running, like, for cover, she's like, I'm going to go break stuff.
Sacrifice. Right. To save everyone.
She sacrifices herself. She flies right into the cannon. And then he runs and he sees, like, little pink sparkles.
Yeah.
Like, falling down like snow. And so, you know, we assume, like, oh, she's
dead.
She's gone.
And, but then, like, the city, the director, does the director die in this or she live?
We don't see her body, but we assume she dies because it's a pretty big explosion. Yeah. But then also there's awe because part of the wall is destroyed.
Yes.
And you can see it's, like, gorgeous mountains and rivers and forests.
Right.
People are like, whoa, what have we been missing this whole time?
And now everyone...
And I'm just like, that's all land you haven't polluted yet.
Yes. the people are all for Nimona now. Like, mm-hmm. there's like
graffiti that says heroes with her face and like
you
artwork.
See Todd, who's been a dick the whole movie, come and like put down flowers.
Yeah, on there's memorials everywhere.
Yeah,
love Nimona artwork. It's really cute. I like that the artwork in the movie is like the artwork from the comics.
Yeah, yeah,
it's cute.
What do you call it? Ballister and Ambrosius get back together.
Yeah. But they always loved each other. Like, Ballister, even when they were fighting, wouldn't really harm him. Like, he'd hit him, but, like, not to do real damage. Well, Ambrosius.
Yes.
Cut Ballister's arm off. Yeah. But Ballister forgives him for that because in that moment he thought he was assassinating the queen.
Yes. Yes.
He said, because Nimona brings it up to him several times and is like, he cut off your arm.
Cutting off arms is not a love language.
Yes.
Is one of her lines.
But he says he was disarming a weapon. That's what we're trained to do. Like, he did what he was trained to do. He's supposed to protect the queen.
But her thing, and I guess this is why you could say, like, in a philosophical way, why they call power just the institute. Mm-hmm. Her whole thing is like, you know, she's constantly telling him, like, question what you know and what you think. And, like, why do you, like, follow these rules and all this bullshit? And, like, she's basically like, you're part of a world that, like, treats you like shit. And you don't accept it. Like, you don't want to see it.
I think I'm just like, okay, fine. I accept that. And I think that is a good message that you shouldn't always accept everything. However, just play the board game the way you're supposed to play the goddamn board game. When the girl in the video that you sent me was like, and my favorite part where she blows fire at the board game, I was like, girl, why do you like that part the most? No. Certainly not. It's Monopoly. Have some decorum.
See, I saw it more like Dungeons and Dragons or something.
Well, no, she was like, she landed on his space. So he's like, give me $600.
Oh, right.
Well, gold coins.
Yeah. So another form that she takes at one point in the movie towards this middle of the movie is she becomes like a weirdly demonic little boy.
What? Oh, that's the part the kids rewound like 100 times.
Really?
They love that part. They thought it was so funny. Now they reenact it. Like, they were running around tonight being like, excuse me, sir, could you help me find my mom? And then like doing the demon voice. They really love that.
I enjoy it. It's fun.
I love Julio Torres so much. He's the squire, so he's like, oh no, let me go pass this problem on to someone else.
And where's he from?
He's a writer for SNL who wrote some of my favorite sketches. He wrote the papyrus sketch. That's his.
Okay.
And he had his own stand-up show. It's like Shapes. And then he's Problemista. Problemista is his movie.
I didn't realize, yes.
And
I loved Problemista.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. And I've seen his show, Los Spookies.
He's really so great
funny.
Artist.
I love him.
Also, the voice of
Ambrosius?
Yeah, is an interesting person.
Eugene
too.
Lee Yang. He used to write for BuzzFeed like way back in their heyday. And like he was like sort of a BuzzFeed celebrity.
Yeah.
And then he's in a YouTube troupe called the Try Guys, which recently disbanded, I think. And then I'd never known him as an actor, so I thought his performance was good, considering I think he's like a non-actor.
Right.
Or maybe he's acting now, but not having had an acting background necessarily.
But apparently, like, he does a lot of cool, like, things.
I mean, he looks very cool. Yeah. Like, his hair is cool. They based Ambrosius' hair on his real hairstyle.
Yeah.
So he's got a cool hairdo.
In the comic, Ambrosius is more of a villain.
Mm.
And
they both are.
Yes, they are. It's interesting. I really want to read the comic because I haven't finished it. I actually want to go back and reread it all of Lumberjanes because I really like the Lumberjanes. You know, it's so funny when you hear like these neckbeards and they're like, you know, diversity is not a substitute for creativity. And it's always like, but like,
diversity of thought is creativity.
Yeah, like if the same people are
telling
the only people
stories.
That tell the story.
No,
like,
I want different voices.
A different story from a different person will hit different and feel different. Like, of course it is. Of course. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we've exhausted all the white guys. Like, we've got every kind of white guy. You know what I mean?
Every single
one. Like,
let's them all.
You know.
Let's get some other people in here.
Yeah.
Like, and when we dry that well up, maybe we'll go back to the white guys. Maybe they'll have new ideas. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Stranger things have happened.
Yeah. So we think Nimona's dead at the end, and then in a sort of repetition of how he first meets her, there's a knock on the door, and he looks outside, and then you hear her voice behind him, which is, "Hi, boss."
Hi, boss.
And he goes, "What the fuck?"
No, no, he goes, "Holy shit."
Okay,
it stops.
Yeah. And then it's cool, pretty cool credits.
Yeah, that's fun.
At the end of the credits, right, there is a screen that says, "If someone you know is struggling, information and resources are available at www.wannatalkaboutit.com.
Oh.
So I looked this up, right? It's actually a website made by Netflix.
Really?
And
do they put that at the end of anything that has people like?
Yes. And they actually, it looks like it's Netflix because, like, you see, first of all, the first page has like Suicide Prevention Hotline, Trevor Project, a bunch of different resources. But then there's like different things. Like, did you watch Jenny in Georgia?
No.
There's self-harm in that. So, like, there's, like, you see, like, Baby Reindeer obviously has abuse in it.
Yeah.
So, like, you see things. So, like, I was like, what happens when you click on this? They just show you the show? But they don't. It just gives you resources for the specific problem that that show's about.
Oh, wow.
So, like, if you click on Ginny in Georgia, it'll give you all these resources for self-harm. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, really cool. I really enjoyed that. And the last thing you see, it's not a post-credit scene, but the last thing you see is, like, Nimona spray paints the anarchy symbol, the A, but instead of in a circle, it's in a heart.
Oh, okay.
Which is fun.
She's so silly. She's so silly.
Fun character. I really want to do a She-Ra rewatch.
I love that show.
Just fucking watch it. You could do it pretty quick, too.
Yeah. I would show the kids. I'd want them.
Yeah, you should.
Maybe that would be their gateway into He-Man.
Isn't it crazy that, like, that's already, like, kind of old? Like, it's 4 years ago. If it was from 2018 to 2020. It's crazy that it's, like, almost 2025. Because that means the pandemic was, like, 5 years away.
He wasn't moving around.
Yeah.
He's just in one spot.
Did you see? Let me give credit to that video because I keep referencing it. And it was very informative.
Somebody Whitney?
Yes. Let me see where her name is. You want to give credit where credit
that's
is.
That's true. We Jew. Should give credit.
By the way, just feel like as I'm looking for this, I'm looking at everything for this new Batman show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Keeps Crusader?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, have you seen it yet?
I've only seen the trailer. Buddy, I have to watch like one thing at a time and it takes me a month. At least. It takes me a month at least. I've been trying to get through the last season of Sex Education the whole summer. And I remember like a couple summers ago, I was like, it took me all summer to watch The Boys because we simply are just not awake. We are sleeping.
The YouTube channel was called Whitney Vision.
Whitney Vision, okay.
Whitney Vision. And this video is Nimona, what they changed from the comic. Movie breakdown and details you might have missed. She talks about something that's really interesting, which is Nate Stevenson was inspired by that shapeshifter character who dies in the first scene of Attack of the Clones.
What?
Remember the shapeshifter bounty hunter that has like a lizard face and like a person? And like they're it's barely like a, in it?
Yes. Well, it's like a beautiful woman bounty hunter that then turns into a lizard because she gets shot with a dart, right?
Well, it set his imagination on fire as a child.
Oh my God. As a child? But, well, that's so upsetting.
It makes you feel
that's
old.
So when, upsetting
like,
here.
I was a kid when you were seeing things. That, yeah.
I mean, I wasn't that old, but I didn't consider myself a child at that point. I was on my way to adulthood.
He was obsessed with it.
Wow.
And that's one of the things that leads to Nimona.
Well, I guess we have to be thankful that he didn't become obsessed with the character who ran a 1950s diner.
Yes.
That would have been really something.
What's amazing about Nimona is it's actually a really amazing like success story because he was writing it like in college or like even younger, like high school into college and just publishing it on like Tumblr or something.
I can see that.
And then someone was like, we're going to publish it. And like, that's the beginning of his career.
That's crazy. I didn't know it began with Nimona.
Can you imagine like, because I did so much bullshit when I was in high school, like that was no one would ever care to see or read. And can you imagine when you were like 20, someone being like, I'm going to publish something you did.
Crazy. It happens. I mean, people are genuinely talented.
Yeah. I don't know what that's like.
Me neither.
I have no clue.
Believe you me.
I imagine it's interesting.
Let's
see what else. Anything else we haven't covered? So you're never gonna watch this again, huh? You did it once.
No, the kids will probably want to watch it. We'll see.
Good.
We'll see.
Maybe they'll beat it into you.
Like, no, they'll more. They'll just break you
down. Does it suck when they really like something that you hate? When you're like, oh, I hate this. And then you look at them happens. And they're like, we love it.
Yeah, it rarely happens. I have to say, honestly, children's programming in the last few years has gotten very good.
Yeah.
But every so often, they'll get into something that it's like nails on a chalkboard. For instance, and Prime is really responsible for this, is Amazon Prime has a bunch of free older shows.
Uh-huh.
And they'll like put them up like shows you should watch or whatever. And then the kids will see it. And Peter really likes the original Bananas in Pajamas.
Okay.
It's grating. Yeah, that's one I'm like, oh, shit, he wants to watch this. Okay, I guess mommy's going to go in the other room and like fold laundry or something. Yeah. I'll be there if you need me. I enjoy a lot of this stuff. And my favorite thing is like when they get me into something.
Yeah.
I love that. Like Bill's really into Minecraft now because Henry got into it.
Nice. That's fun.
It's fun. I like supporting them. But, you know, I also like they're how I'm getting my hands on new media.
Right.
And it's because they go to talk to people. I'm like, I'm here. I'm talking to them. So they go out. They go to their classrooms. They come back. Yeah. They talk to me. And like,
right,
you know,
right, right.
We're all talking about like politics or whatever in the group chat. Like, I need media. Give me media. So I get that from you. I get that from them. Sometimes it's good from them. Our kids are Gen Alpha already. Like Henry's coming back with dank memes, man.
Dank memes.
Dank memes. Like what the Sigma? What? I'm like, where'd you hear that? He said Cole said it at school. I was like, oh, okay.
Cole.
Which is like a joke in the movie Leo. Like every kid's named Cole. He's got one kid named Cole. That's his friend. Cole told me what the Sigma. I'm like, okay. Cool, man. I don't know. Skibbity toilet.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know any of what you're even saying right now.
That's what the kids say. And we're talking kids. Like
children.
Kids. Children. They're saying this stuff.
Oh, that's great.
I don't want to be cool.
I remember the one time one summer, when I was professing full time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a summer class, so I worked in like a tutoring center. And it was the only time I ever like worked with kids, and like I found them hilarious.
They are. But
And I was surprised at how close my sense of humor was
And your sense of fashion.
Close to them.
Yeah.
And my sense of fashion.
That's right.
One kid was like, if somebody says something to you, just say it back and say your faces. And I was like, you just described 90% of my comedy. If someone says you're stupid, say your face is stupid. I was like, kid, you're hilarious.
I love that.
And then I had another kid who was obsessed with the word poop.
Sure.
And I tried to not encourage it, but sometimes he got me and I'd laugh. And I'd be like, what's the answer to this question? He'd be like, poop.
Is it poop?
Yeah.
I think it's poop.
Yeah. Oh. They're clever. So I'm looking through my notes. One thing last thing I'm going to say is what I think is the funniest joke.
Okay.
And this has been a joke in other things, and I always find it funny.
Okay.
Ballister is knocked out, and he wakes up, and he's like, how long have I been out? And then one was like, 15 years. I don't know. I always find that joke hilarious. Oh, what a great movie. All right. This has been PCMC. I'm Mike Mangione. I was joined today by the bitter.
Go see Boy and the Heron.
God, that movie put me. And I like his other movies. That movie made me.
Mm-mm. If you want to watch a real movie,
Janine Gagliardi, thank you so much for being here.
My last appearance on PCMC.
No, we end every episode by saying
go bye bye.